Welcome to sermons from St. Paul's Lutheran Church of Minot, North Dakota.
St. Paul's is anchored in the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and for the world.
The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
In the name of Jesus, amen. I sometimes wish that all of you could wear a clergy collar just for one day, not to somehow prove something to you or make you feel sorry for me or perhaps feel the burdens of the pastoral office, none of that, but instead it would be, well, it'd be really neat for you to experience all the spiritual conversations about the faith that happen just simply by wearing a simple collar around your neck. You see, I wear this collar after work when I go to Walmart or the mall or the hospital, to name a few, or out to lunch, grocery store perhaps as well. And I typically, again, leave that collar on, which leads me to have conversations with all sorts of people, all sorts of strangers. To be honest, it is quite fun. Indeed, it is quite fun. People will notice the collar around the neck, and they'll either give me a scowl and turn the other way, which is always fun to smile at them. Others will give me a gentle smile. For those that smile, there's a small portion that will strike up a conversation. Where are you a pastor at? What kind of pastor? Are you a priest? Are you not a priest? Are you so forth? Now, these conversations, these are the ones that are actually rather fun to visit with. These spiritual conversations. They often go like this. Pastor, can we talk to the dead? Do we believe in demons? Do you believe in demons? Does God speak to us through mystical experiences and circumstances? And my personal favorite conversation, which seems to happen all the time at Walmart, is this. What does the Bible say about UFOs? Now, needless to say, it is quite amazing how many conversations I get to have simply by wearing a piece of plastic over my neck. Now, the reason why I bring this up to you is that one of the things that I try to ask these individuals, these people, is if they have a church home. If they do, I say, well, God be praised, and I simply leave it at that. I don't push the envelope. However, if they do not have a church home, I invite them here to St. Paul's. However, as soon as I invite them to St. Paul's, 9 times out of 10, the response is the same, and that is this. You know, I'm not really into church, no disrespect. Now, don't get me wrong, I have faith, I believe in God, but I do my own thing. God is there when I need him, indeed, when I need him. Now, since most of these conversations occur in the checkout lines, there really is never enough time to respond to this response that they give. And so I simply reply by saying, well, if you ever need a church home or a pastor, St. Paul's Lutheran Church is here for you. Now, why mention this? Well, this actually brings up an interesting predicament. What do we do? Indeed, what do we do with these kind of responses? Now, I'm sure that all of us know of people who say that they believe in God and that they have faith, but then at the same time they want nothing to do with God and the Christian faith. And so again, how do we make sense of this? Well, for starters, we have to admit that this is hardly the kind of faith that Jesus exemplifies as great faith. Compare this nonchalant, yeah, I kind of believe in God kind of faith, with what we hear in our gospel reading of Matthew from that Canaanite woman. In the gospel reading from Matthew, we see that the Canaanite woman, she actually pleads before Jesus. She actually goes on her knees and she begs, saying, Lord, help me. Clearly, what we hear from a great deal of people, indeed, the nonchalant response we hear from a great deal amount of people, and what we see and hear about that Canaanite woman shows us that there are two different kinds of faith. Or we could say two different definitions of what faith is. You see, there's a kind of faith that we can call, well, let's just call it this, general faith. It can also be called knowledge of God or assent of God. In other words, many people throughout the world hold to a belief of God, and they will also acknowledge to a certain extent that Jesus existed historically speaking, and maybe they'll even acknowledge that he died on a cross. These people consist of, well, heathens and deists. Yes, deists. In other words, many people will have a belief in the existence of God, but not necessarily a God who intervenes in the universe. Often for these people, God is nothing more than an old grandfather who's only called upon when the times get tough. When they don't call on God, well, they just leave him alone in the nursing home of heaven. For them, they use God as a personal resource, turning him on with a flip of a switch when they need him, while being very flexible in their belief about God. Actually, to be honest, they change their view of God depending on the situation. And finally, they do this personally. They navigate their spirituality on their own terms so that no one can interfere with their religious journey. Now, the problem, unfortunately, the problem with this kind of general faith is that this is the kind of general faith, this knowledge of God that is also held, get this, by demons. You heard that correctly. The demons, they believe and they shudder. In fact, if you want to hear something even more jarring, listen up. Demons tend to have a better understanding of who God is than most people. Most people who adhere to this kind of thinking. Yes, you heard that correctly. Demons have a better doctrine and theology of who God actually is than most people who play these spiritual games. So that brings up another predicament, another point. Are we saying that this kind of general faith is not saving faith? Are we drawing a line between the two? Yes, that is exactly what we are doing this day. That is exactly what is being stated. You see, dear friends, there's a huge difference between a person who gives a tip of the hat towards God while trying to justify their own version of their own spirituality on one side, and then on the other side, a Canaanite woman who throws her whole life at the feet of Jesus, throws everything right before Christ in the dirt. There's a drastic difference. There's a drastic difference between a person who says, you know, I'm not really into church. I have faith. I believe in God, but I do my own thing. God is where I need him the most, when I need him, versus a person who says this, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy and his precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, so that I might be his own. Big difference. You see, the key question in all of this is not whether you and I tolerate God, or perhaps if we are for God in our own ways, but rather whether we know that God is for you and for me, whether we understand that he is for you and for me through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. Look back to our reading again from the Gospel of Matthew. What made that Canaanite woman's faith so great is not that she had a bunch of historical facts about God, not that that is wrong by any means. And it's not that she did her own spirituality on her own terms, but that rather she cried out and she clung to Christ amid her total and complete helplessness. Her faith connected to Jesus, received from Jesus, abided in Jesus, and none other. And so, dear friends, the Canaanite woman in our reading from the Gospel of Matthew is a picture of the Christian church. She's actually a picture of you and me, as we read that is us. She's a picture of what is called saving faith. You see, the Canaanite woman and saving faith always cries out, always trusts, always relies on Jesus. Indeed, she's a picture of you and me coming right here to this sanctuary, coming to this place, standing on this floor, confessing together that we are nothing more than dogs, that we are poor, miserable sinners in thought, word, and deed. Yet at the same time, still rising up and coming before this altar with beggarly hands open to receive sips of wine and pieces of bread, the body and blood of Christ, that is for you and for me, in spite of our sin and our failures. This Canaanite woman, she's a picture of us coming to the throne of grace with all of our suffering, all of our trials, all of our uncontrollable situations, all of our sins of thought, word, and deed. Because we know that the Lord is for you and for me with his word and his sacraments. You see, saving faith clings to Jesus and his word, a promise. Because saving faith knows that the Lord is for you and for me. And so since the Lord Jesus Christ is for you and me through his life and his death and his resurrection, you and I, get this, we never stop returning to Christ again and again and again to receive his gifts. We come to this place in that Christian faith that has been delivered to us to receive always from the one who gives unto us. Perhaps to drive this point home a bit further, general faith can often be wrapped up in pride and self-sufficiency and even idolatry itself, whereas saving faith is wrapped in helplessness, spiritual bankruptcy, and the bold cry of, Lord, help me, have mercy on the sinner. And that is the key. The Lord does help. That is the gospel, why we cry, because the Lord does indeed help. You see, baptized saints, the Lord Jesus Christ is always for you with the forgiveness of sins. And so saving faith has nothing to do with your abilities. It has nothing to do with your intellect, your determination, your commitment, your will, your moral achievements. Instead, saving faith is all created by Christ, for Christ, under Christ, to trust in Christ and to receive from Christ as a Canaanite begging woman. As beggars. And so, baptized saints, let us not delude ourselves into thinking that we are self-sufficient, that we're spiritually important, that we're culturally significant, morally powerful, and self-righteous. We are none of this. We are none of this. Let us move on from this delusion to understand that we are, that you and I, that we are the spiritual, bankrupt, insignificant, weak, failing misfits that Christ bled and died for, that he chose to be his own. And so we are right here in the dirt, on our knees, with the Canaanite woman receiving everything from Christ. As Christ gives to you and me and says to you and me, St. Paul's Lutheran, great is your faith. Great is your faith. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thy strong word bespeaks us righteous, bright with thine own holiness.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon.
You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog
at www.pastormattrichard.org or visit St. Paul's website
at www.stpaulsminot.org.
The Lord bless and keep you.